You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All sectors of the arts are having to adapt and move into a virtual world. Zoe interviewed a musician in LA, Emily Adrosa, about her experience with live streaming and how the music industry is placed to make the online shift. She also interviewed actor, director and theatre maker Freya Finch about live streaming in the theatre world and what is lost and gained when theatre becomes virtual. First, her interview with Emily.
My name is Emily Adrosa, and I am a musician, I think.
Before COVID-19, did you have any experience with live streaming, or is this something you've had to learn along the way?
I'm trying to think, but I don't think I've ever done any live streaming. Like, I've done performances that were filmed for YouTube and or just for the internet like that, but nothing that was to be broadcast live.
On that note, with how in the music industry you do film things to be put online, do you think that sort of gives it an advantage? Like, is it better equipped than some other sectors of the arts to adapt into a virtual world in regard to how we stream songs and watch live performances online?
I would say, yeah. I'm not sure what other sectors of the art it would be, like visual art, you know, like you look at photos or pictures on the internet, but you know, to look at, like, I don't know, a piece of art, it's for me at least, it means a lot more to see it in person. So yes, it's obviously very different than being at a show, but yeah, to answer your question, I think the live music industry is probably a little bit more equipped to deal with this kind of thing.
And you were just a part of Homesick, that home to home music festival. Can you talk a little bit about what that was?
That's a festival that my US label, they're also a management company, so it's all the bands that are on Park the Van. Yeah, so they just emailed us and said if we wanted to do it. Logistically, for them to do that, it was a lot more complicated than just if I was like, oh, I'm going to open my phone and go on Instagram Live or Facebook Live, because everything had to be sort of coordinated. I found it quite complicated because, I'd never done it before. Because we all had to have the same settings on the computer and be using the same program and then be sharing it to their thing. It's hard to explain.
So I guess solo artists, I suppose, are somewhat less affected. But how are bands sort of working this new scene, and how do they participate in live streaming? Can they?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting because I am a solo artist, but my new album does have a lot of bass and drums on it. For the live stream, I wanted to be playing my new material, so I had to use backing tracks, which I hadn't really done before, and it was pretty much a nightmare because I didn't practice enough. Like, a lot of the artists that played yesterday, a lot of bands did just have the lead person doing acoustic songs. But also, you know, with this quarantine, like, you know, I think one band yesterday performed because they're all flatmates, so that comes into it as well.
What was it like performing knowing people were watching you but not having that audience energy to feed off?
It was definitely very different, even so much as I was looking up at the computer and it was such a huge lag. So I'd look up at myself and then I would be doing something completely different. So it was just really, it was really strange. I think it's something you could get used to, but you have to sort of settle into it a bit. Even my physical response from my body was, huh? What? Like, what do you think? It's, yeah, you just have to be like, hey, I'm doing this thing. It's fun. You have to sort of, in a way, be a lot more in yourself and in the moment. It's certainly like a more mellow, introspective experience.
How do you think when this is all over, the music industry will have changed?
It does seem like the music industry was one of the first things to sort of go. Live shows were cancelled before people stopped going to work. I think it's very difficult. I do sort of roll my eyes a bit because people haven't really been willing to pay for the recordings of live music for a while now. And then so everyone's like, well, live's the only way you're going to make money. And then now, I mean, are people going to pay for live streaming of shows? I don't know. Is there going to be some sort of Spotify type corporation that comes along and goes, hey, and then you can like click through all these live shows that are happening at once and then choose one, and it's $12 a month. Like the whole system is pretty, I feel like it's pretty bleak. On the other hand, you know, as with everything that comes out of this, maybe we're going to be living in some sort of post-capitalist society. I don't know.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
It's just weird for me because I just signed this label and I had a lot of stuff that I was going to do this year. Like my album's meant to come out in September, but because everything's on hold, like people aren't putting out their records because they can't do the tour around it.
Mm.
So they're pushing back, my label's pushing back the stuff that was going to be released in May. And then so will mine get pushed back? I don't know what anything looks like anymore. And I sort of just want to make records and put them on the internet for free and live in the bush. Like living in America right now and living in LA is just like, oh shit. But I mean, maybe I'll write some songs about it. I don't know.
Great interview there and great sound for somebody over in LA. Thank you, Zoe. And lots of confusion again. We're in a changing time and we're not sure what this is going to look like anymore. But this next piece is, we are going to hear from actor, director, and theatre maker Freya Finch. Zoe first asked if live streaming was something she had ever had to do before.
No, I'm very like not a tech savvy person. I didn't even really have Instagram till a few months ago, so I'm definitely not one of those people that's all over that. I really admire people who like kill it on social media, but it's a very new thing to me. I just did my first live stream for Silo Theatre this morning.
Can you talk a bit about what that Silo Theatre's Instagram residency is?
Yeah, it's an 8-week initiative where for the next 8 weeks, each week there's a different artist in residence, and every morning at 9 a.m. they engage the Instagram audience in any way they like. So there's lots of variety. I'm kind of reading stories each morning and talking about the writers who wrote them and some links to other artists. But there's a whole variety of stuff that's going to be happening over the next 8 weeks.
How equipped do you think the theatre world is to move, you know, hopefully temporarily, into a virtual space?
I think we're pretty well equipped for it. Like, I guess in a way we've been gearing towards this for a while, right? Like everything is becoming so online anyway. But I'm definitely like struggling, as I'm sure many theatre practitioners are, with the reality of like something that is so fundamentally live. You know, that's the point of live theatre, moving into a digital space.
So in London, the National Theatre has announced they'll be streaming their shows for free on YouTube. And as you said, theatre is such a live experience. What do you think is changed when the theatre experience is moved online? What do we miss out on? And is there anything maybe that's gained?
Well, I think what's gained, first of all, is it's accessibility, right? Like, you know, with what National Theatre's doing, especially if it's free or like at least very cheap, that suddenly millions of people worldwide who can access that, who wouldn't have been able to because of location for one, but also money secondly is a big issue we face in theatre. It's expensive to put on shows, and that means tickets have to be expensive, and that means lots of people can't go and watch theatre, which is, you know, a total challenge. I think what's lost though is just that rawness you get from a live active theatre, seeing the performers sweat in front of you, seeing them working really hard, and that kind of anticipation and almost nervousness from the performers and the audience about the fact that we're witnessing a live act. You know, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong, and that's that. And that creates such a wonderful tension that it's much harder to feel, I think, over a screen. And the other thing I think we lose by it being online is actually a feeling of community and connection within the audience, because theatre is also an act of a big group of people coming together in the same space and witnessing the same event. And whether you realise it or not, I really believe that you leave that experience as a stronger whole. And I think for me, something I'm struggling with is the idea of everyone sitting on their own private screen in their own private home and witnessing something. I think it's a real shame for theatre to have to move away from this collective witnessing and this community space. But also, this is the time we're in. And I think, you know, it's better to have some access than none at all, right?
And you briefly mentioned, you know, how accessibility and money is a really good thing. But I guess, you know, money goes two ways. And is there anything, especially in New Zealand, because we do have to move into this online space with live streaming and that takes new technology, are there any initiatives being set up to fund this?
Beyond like what I'm hearing from theatre companies who are, you know, employing artists to still make work in an online way, I'm not totally sure. I'm sure as time goes on, there'll be more and more. To work in an online sphere, like, you do have to have access to a reasonable phone even. So I guess, yeah, I'm not totally sure, to be honest, but I hope that more and more things come about that that encourage people to still be engaging in creative ways digitally and online.
What do you think the lasting effects of this will be on theatre?
Big question, Zoe. The lasting effects. Well, I really hope that, as you say, when all this is over, if this is all over, in terms of, you know, we don't know how long it's going to be until we can all meet in a public shared space. But I hope that it makes people hungry for that live theatre experience. And, you know, we're in an age where people are constantly accessing arts and culture and online, even theatre now, as we're seeing. And I think that's wonderful, especially in a time like this. But I really do feel that you can't replicate live theatre. And I hope that we almost swing the other way and people really crave live music, live art, live performance. And maybe there's a big renaissance.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.